Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, welcome to another edition of Sports Urban Legend. Along with my co-host Macaulay Matthew, I'm of course William Ramo. What's up, Mac? How you doing?
Hey man, how's it going?
I'm doing a lot better than I was on Thursday night. I'm gonna get into this draft very soon, about the Knicks draft pick. Also gonna talk about two members of the Mets organization contracting coronavirus and basically canceling the or postponing the Subway Series. I'm thinking of SummerSlam in my mind. You know, the Subway Series, you know, is being postponed as a result of that. You know, so it also affects your Yankees. You know, we'll get into that. And, of course, you know, we'll talk about what's going on in wrestling, a big week in wrestling. NXT TakeOver happened, it ended probably almost 2 hours ago. And AEW had a special Saturday night episode to combat against NXT. We'll get into that too. But most importantly, you know, we'd love to hear from you from any of these topics or more. The number is 563-999-3529. That's 563-999-3529. So, yeah, man, without further ado, yeah, let's just get to this Knick talk. I know. What can I say, man? I mean, every year, it's like if the Knicks had a mascot, I mean, we all know Knicks, I mean, the Mets have a mascot, Mr. Met. But if the Knicks, the Mets, the Jets, if they all had a mascot, it would be Charlie Brown. And basically, Charlie Brown is basically all the teams that I root for, and I guess you could say their fandom as well. And basically, Lucy is the NBA or any of the other leagues that I root for, and the ball is just the football is hope. And basically, every single year with this NBA draft, the Knick fans, like myself, every year you're just like, okay, let me just, you know, watch this NBA draft. Okay, when is this NBA draft going to happen? Oh, is this day? Okay, cool. Let's see where the Knicks are going to be. You know, you're like, you're practically like biting your nails out of your fingertips. I mean, just to see, will the Knicks finally end their streak of not getting the number one pick since 1985 when they got Patrick Ewing? And as you're watching this, okay, you're like preparing yourself. It's like, okay, now the draft is starting. And then you're just watching and you're like, oh man, every pick. With this pick, with the number 10th pick, and then you're just expecting them to say the Knicks, and then they say another team. So you're like, shoo, with the number 9th pick, the team with the number 9th pick is blah, 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 blah. Then you're like, okay. And then you just feel it in your body. You just feel in your soul like you're next, but you're like, no.
You gotta know it's
believe.
Coming.
You know what I'm saying? You gotta believe. You gotta fight the negativity and just try to be positive. Just think. But in the pit of your stomach, you're like, and in your chest, you're like, it's you're next. You just you know you're next. It's inevitable. You and then with the eighth pick, the team with the eighth pick is, and the dude, man, the deputy, with a cheesy grin, the New York Knicks. I'm like, oh, come on, man. This is crap, man. I changed. This is basically my ritual. With this pick, it's the New York Knicks. As soon as they say it's the New York Knicks, I just automatic. It's like my hands, like it's like the broom boy from The Last Jedi. My hands, the remote, like the broom, just automatically flies into my hands, and then I change the channel. it's like I don't even care anymore. You know what I'm saying? Because it's like at the end of the day, it's always usually the Celtics or the Lakers who always end up getting with the top picks anyway. And with the Knicks' luck or lack thereof, or I guess you could say their curse. So if they didn't have any bad luck, they wouldn't have any luck at all. They always lose their spots. Oh, the Knicks, they have a 30% chance of being in the top three. The New York Knicks, you know, they have a 99% chance of getting the number one pick. No matter what they say, the Knicks always fall out of contention. If it's a deep draft, they're just like one pick short of getting a you know, like an impact player. It reminds me of, I think it was 08. They were one pick behind Steph Curry. One pick behind Steph Curry. And then guess what happened? They picked Steph Curry, and the rest is history. The rest is history. Steph Curry was saying, like, he wanted to come to the Knicks. He even did an interview not too long ago admitting he wanted to come to the Knicks. I wanted him to come to the Knicks because I saw the way how he was playing in Davidson, and he reminded me of a young John Starks, the way how he was playing. Like, I was like, man, I hope this guy comes to the Knicks. And, of course, the rest is history. He goes to the Golden State Warriors. They win, what, four titles, and the rest is history. Steve Kerr plays the Knicks, and, you know, he basically picks up after, you know, what Mark Jackson did and you know, won the title with them. And you know what I mean? It's like the Knicks could never get a break. And what I equate it to is, basically, what was it? I forgot how long ago it was. Maybe almost a decade ago. They were scouting Verlander. But every time they would scout Verlander, the Tigers were always there, and the Tigers had the pick ahead of them. So they knew before the MLB draft that they had no shot at getting Verlander, which of course that was the case. So, I mean, it's just like my teams can never get a break. And then, like, it's just so annoying. And then the Timberwolves win the pick. Last year was Zion, you know, Williamson getting, whatchamacallit, we're going to get Zion. We're going to get Zion, you know. And then, I mean, obviously he did get hurt this NBA season. But it's like we can never get a break. I mean, it's just ridiculous, man. I'm getting to the point that I might not even watch these draft lotteries anymore, and just watch the NBA draft, the actual NBA draft, because it's like you get your hopes up, and then it never amounts to anything, especially if you're a Knicks fan. And it doesn't matter, man. It don't matter what the percentage is. The Lakers, the Celtics, they always leapfrog over them. They always, I mean, it doesn't matter, man. It's like no matter what, they always drop out of it, and some team always leapfrogs over them. It's just so annoying. It's so annoying.
I told you, I wasn't as optimistic as some of these other Knicks fans were. I was telling you beforehand, I didn't think that we were going to get top three, you know. I didn't think so, because you can't let these lotteries trick you. The last 5 years, Knicks haven't broken, they haven't gone past pick eight. 5 years.
Yeah, I think, ever since the Porzingis pick. And even that, they were supposed to pick, I think they were supposed to pick second, but Lakers leapfrog over them and got the number two pick, and then they got the fourth pick.
What year was that again?
No, this was like 4 years ago this happened.
Oh, okay. Well, they got number four? I don't remember. I don't even remember that.
Yeah, when they got Porzingis.
You're right. Yeah.
Because we were rumored to get the number two pick.
Right.
And then afterwards, the Lakers out of nowhere, like a RKO, they just take the pick.
I know. And this year you have Golden State. Like
I know. That's what upset me too. They got the number two pick. They just won the title a few years ago.
I know.
You know what I mean? I mean, come on.
Ridiculous, man. Like, they have no luck right now.
Oh, Golden State, people are still going to come to Golden State. They still got Steph Curry. They're still going to come to Golden State.
Klay Thompson, yeah.
I know. Come on. It's literally not fair. Like, the NBA, they really – and then, to top it off, you got some NBA players talking smack about the Knicks' misfortune. I mean, like, come on.
Former Knicks.
Yeah.
Talking, laughing
Cantor,
and talking smack.
Cantor, you know, he just seemed bitter. LOL. And all this stuff.
As he should. You know, because look what the Knicks did to some of these guys before they left.
I've been saying that, like, if you watch the old episodes of this show, I admitted that they treated him dirty. I still don't think the way how they treated him badly. Like, you know, they're going to play the younger players. The dude was like, what, 25 or so? I don't even remember how old he was, but he was still a young player. I mean, obviously, you know, he scores. He gets a lot of rebounds, but, I mean, his defense, he needs to work on his defense. But I thought he was a good enough player that they should have played him and not benched him for no reason. It's not like he was a malcontent and, you know, they had to bench the guy. I mean, it's
better than some of the other guys that won the team.
Yeah, and then they ruined his trade value, which was dumb to begin with. And then you had Spencer Dinwiddie, you know, talking smack on the Knicks, and his team is like on the verge of getting eliminated from the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yep.
I mean, I get it. I get where he's coming from. You know,
really, he's not even playing right now.
The Nets. What you said?
Really, he's not even playing.
Yeah, I know, but it's you know, I understand the inferiority complex, you know, like, you know, even though the Nets are the much better team in town, you know, this city has always been a Knick town, you know. I mean, the Knicks is the only team in the city that all other sports teams, they all unite for the most part as fans. Whether you're a Mets or a Knick fan, Mets or Yankee fan, most people are no matter what team you root for, you're a Knick fan most of the time.
At this
Jets,
point, you're better
Giants,
rooting for the Nets than the Knicks.
Yeah, of course. No, I'm like I said, the Nets are the much better team. You know, they did well under Jacques Vaughn. You know, and you know he's unfortunately a lame duck coach, even though. You know, he has his team playing well, but unfortunately, you know, they're on the verge of elimination. I think they play tomorrow, if my memory serves me right. But, yeah, I mean, I understand where they're coming from. You know, they want to overtake the city. I mean, obviously, they're the better team. There's a lot of fans who are our age or older who actually remember when the Knicks, you know, playing for the Knicks and you know, being a Knicks fan actually meant something instead of being the butt of people's jokes.
Yeah, Knicks
know?
Right now, they're cursed. They're cursed,
yeah.
You know?
I do like the moves, the front office moves that Leon Rose is doing. You know, there's hope there, but, you know, we have to see what they do in this draft. You know, they have like a lot of people with strong drafting, player development. You know, they have relationship with players. But right now, we have to see what they're going to do with this eight pick, you know, because this is the future of the franchise. They can't mess this up. What I mean? And what do you think the Knicks should do? Should they just draft a point guard, or should they just get the best available player?
You got to get the best available player. I mean, even when I'm doing like fake drafts, to DraftKings, I get the best available player, and that's what the Knicks got to do in real life. Whichever player is available, that's best at that point, they got to get. They don't do it by position.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, they're rumored to get Iowa State Tyrese Haliburton or a French point guard, Killian Hayes. I mean, I know we don't have good luck with French point guards, especially Ntilikina, but I mean, he's supposed to be really good. There's a forward from Auburn, Isaac Okoro, and they have a combo guard, Devin Vassell, who a lot of people think we're most likely going to go after that guy, even though he's not, a point guard, which is our biggest need.
Point guard is our need right now, but if there's another player that's better at another position, you got to go after him.
Mm-hmm. I'm just, what I'm saying? Like, yeah, man. I mean, the Warriors, man, they're in a great spot to like resuscitate that franchise. I mean, the only reason why their franchise is done is because, Durant, left and went to Brooklyn after he got hurt. And, Klay Thompson's hurt. Steph Curry was hurt at one point. Yeah, now they got a low pick, and now they got the number two pick. They could trade it or draft LaMelo Ball or Edwards. The other person who I'm thinking of escapes me, but they're in a good spot. James Wiseman. But yeah, I mean, it is what it is, man.
Yeah.
Don't
kill yourself, Knicks fans.
I think they would have killed themselves a long time ago with this organization, man. It's just been chaotic since to me this franchise has never been the same since Jeff Van Gundy left them. It's just been downhill ever since. Or what's the first sign of the Knicks franchise, dying or dead?
When we trade Patrick Ewing.
Well, I mean, yeah, that goes without saying. Patrick Ewing getting traded, that was the first sign. That was the first definite. That was the beginning of the end. And then that resulted in, them getting knocked out of the first round to the Raptors.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then, obviously, Van Gundy the following year, he left, even though he had a winning record, but he saw the writing on the wall. And the team has been downhill ever since. With the exception of, 2013, when they had Kidd? Yeah, man, this team. What more can I say about this team? Did you hear that George Karl and Mark Jackson had a disagreement with each other?
Oh, yeah, I read the article. Jackson, he was alluding to Melo's defense and said that Melo has just bought into a culture with these teams that he's played on of not playing the defense.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess George Karl took offense to that, thinking that Jackson was insinuating that, when Melo played for him, that Karl never
taught him how to play
defense. Yeah, but that's not true because in Karl's book, he said he wanted Melo to play defense, but Melo just never committed to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's all on Melo. I mean, if a guy doesn't want to play defense and you're trying to like push him to play defense, I mean, there's not much you can do. I mean, you can't beat it out of him, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I feel like, you know, it's been like that throughout Melo's career, even on the Knicks. You know, he's mm-hmm. never been a good defender. Some guys just can't play defense.
Yeah, they lost today to the Lakers. Final score 116-108. Lakers now lead the series 2-1. Damian Lillard he scored 34 points. Had 7 assists and 5 rebounds in the loss. Melo, he scored 20 points. And LeBron, he almost, you know, as usual, almost averaged a triple-double with 38 points, 8 assists, and 12 rebounds. So,
2 more Lakers win, and I lose $30.
Yeah, expected to happen. I hope that's not the case, but.
Yeah, Blazers, they got to help me out here.
This is what the league wants. The league always has their favorites. They always want, you know, certain teams to always make it and win the finals, whether it's the Lakers, Celtics, the Yankees, you know, the Patriots. It basically, you know, it is what it is. It's a favoritism league. They want, you know, they want the best, the most popular teams to make it all the time. So it is what it is. But yeah, did you hear about the Masai Ujiri story?
Oh yeah, I did see that. Yeah, I saw the video also.
Yeah, that was crazy.
TV. Yeah, he's trying to get past the guard, and the guard pushed him.
Yeah, he clearly was you know, just passing through and about to show his credential, and the guy just pushed him. And then he had, you know, Ujiri had to tell him that he's the president of the Raptors. But it's like, it's crazy. Memory served me right. I think the guard is suing him, even though he's the one that pushed Ujiri.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
That is a crazy story.
It is. But, yeah, another crazy story is, the New York Mets, man, there's 2 Mets people, one player that isn't Alonso, and a person within the organization. They both contracted coronavirus, even though Mets, you know, basically was doing their due diligence to make sure no one got sick. But you know, we don't know how it happened. It could have been when they faced the Marlins or the Phillies recently. I mean, who knows? Because this is the main reason why Marcus Stroman opted out of the season, because he had a feeling, you know, because basically the outbreak with the Marlins, you know, Marlins had like at least 17 players, you know, or people in the organization contract the virus. So it's just, you know, that's his reason for opting out. And then now basically Mets was on the verge of sweeping the Marlins, you know, or if had they lost on Thursday, Marlins would have had their 2000th win against the Mets. And, you know, whatchamacallit, what was I going to say? Yeah, basically, the Subway Series is postponed against, you know, your guys. And, you know, basically Mets, you know, they swept a Florida team in the Miami Marlins, whereas, you know, your Yankees, I mean, it must be bizarre world. Your guys, you know, got swept by the Rays. So I know your boys were chomping at the bit to, you know, face the Mets. So what's your thoughts on this postponement?
Well, you know, it's a good thing and a bad thing. I mean, the good thing is, you know, we get to rest right now because right now we have some injuries. You know, you still got Judge out on the 10-day IL, LeMahieu, Stanton, now Gleyber is out right now. So hopefully, you know, this break will get these guys, they'll be well rested and come back to play when they play against, who they play this upcoming week? I forget what team, but it helps our injured players. I guess the bad thing about it is, you know, having the guys that are healthy right now, that not them not being able to play, there's going to be a little rust when they do resume play, you know, this upcoming week. So that's the positive and negative, that came out of it. But I'm still trying to figure out who these Mets players are that tested positive for this COVID-19 because, you know, got to be cautious and hopefully they fully recover. And hopefully it's not something that they, you know, get that they infect other teammates with, you know. So we'll see, you know, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, man, it's the Mets really try not to get the thing, but you know, it's just messed up how.
But I can see why Stroman, you know, opted out. And, you know, because for these fears of COVID, and now you see it actually did happen now with the Mets.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And it makes even Cespedes look like a genius now. Except that Cespedes,
even though
he had
his excuse. I mean, he left, you know, obviously not for us, but.
Well, the way Cespedes did it was not.
Mm-hmm.
Was not professional, I don't think.
Yeah,
Stroman did it in the right way.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, unlike the other Stroman who was, you know, using Alexa Bliss, you know, to further his plans against Wyatt. You know, this Stroman, Marcus Stroman, did it the right way.
Yep.
Yeah, let's dive right into the SummerSlam talk. Yeah, let's see. So yeah, basically, who you think is gonna win the tag team Raw match, the Raw's tag team championship? Street Profit, obviously, it's, you know, Angelo Dawkins and Montez Ford, who recently recovered from being poisoned by Zelina Vega. The Street Profits are going to be battling Andrade and, you know, Angel Garza. Who do you think is going to win?
I think that has the potential to be a good match. But for some reason, I think Andrade and Garza are going to win it for some reason.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, too. That's exactly what I was thinking, too. But then I'm like, they did have this poison storyline.
Yeah.
I don't know. Because originally I was going to say, yeah, I'm definitely Andrade and Garza. But, yeah.
I don't know what Andrade and Garza.
Yeah, I have to go with my gut. You know, my mind is telling me, like, you know, the Street Profits have to get their revenge, you know, on them poisoning them. But yeah, I guess Andrade and Garza, this would be the perfect time for them to have the belt, to win the belt. Mandy Rose versus Sonya Deville. You know, the match was originally a hair versus hair match, but now it's a no disqualification match. Loser leaves WWE. Well, to me, it's pretty obvious who's going to win this match, and that's Mandy Rose. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Mandy Rose. I think, you know, the things that have been all happening to Sonya,
mm-hmm.
off, you know, off in her personal life. I think she's going to lose and take some time off.
Right.
And if you guys don't know, she was recently, stalker recently broke into her house. Fortunately, the trespasser tripped the alarm and they were able to get that person arrested. So,
yeah. Thank God nothing, you know, they were able to stop that pervert before he did anything drastic. Because he had, like, weapons and tape. He definitely had evil intentions.
Yep.
I think I even heard that Mandy Rose might have been in the house, too. You know,
really?
I thought
Mandy Rose was the culprit behind this.
But yeah, thank goodness she is. You know, they're doing all right now.
Yep.
But yeah, to me, whether it was a hair versus hair match or this no disqualification, loser leaves WWE. To me, it was gonna have the same result anyway. Sonya Deville was gonna lose anyway, because hair versus hair matches. Can you think of the last time a good guy lost a hair versus hair match?
No, I can't.
Exactly. It's safe to say it's never happened, because it's like a humiliate the heel type of match. You've never,
yeah.
Top of my head, I was just thinking about this maybe a few days ago. Like, a babyface has never lost that type of match. So, to me, either way, Sonya was going to lose anyway. She was going to lose her hair. But now she's just going to get a much-needed time off.
Yeah.
Dominic Mysterio with his father, Rey Mysterio, at his side versus Seth Rollins in a street fight.
I'm going with Dominic Mysterio in this.
I could see this going out of the way. I guess I'm going to pick Dominic, even though it's not realistic for him to win, you know, because this Seth Rollins feud has been one-sided. But yeah, I guess Dominic has to win so they can end this feud, because this feud has been going on since Cain and Abel. Like,
I know, it's
goodness,
been dragging.
I never cared for this feud to begin with. I mean, it's just I'm really done with this feud. I'm really done with this feud. So, yeah, I hope Dominic can win so we can just end this feud once and for all.
Me too.
How long has this feud been? 5 months? It seemed like 5 years. Like, how long has...
It's been forever, man.
My goodness. Was this feud even on at WrestleMania? Who did Seth Rollins fight at WrestleMania? Was it Brock Lesnar?
No, actually, I think he fought, what's his name?
Kevin Owens.
Kevin Owens, yeah.
Right. I remember now. Right. Yeah, and then Asuka, she's gonna do a double duty. She got two separate singles matches, one against Bayley first, and then one against Sasha Banks to be the Empress of all the belts.
That'd be something.
Let me see. What can I see? Man. I think she's not going to win the title against Bayley, but she will win the title against Sasha Banks. And I think it's a dumb idea to have her have two opportunities on the same night. Like, it just shows, like, there's a lack of depth in the women's division. If you have two title opportunities on the same night, you know what I mean? I don't know. It just seems weird to me.
I'm waiting for this friction to start between Sasha and Bayley, and maybe it might happen tomorrow night. Maybe,
right? Because one of them's gonna lose the title, which most likely will be Sasha Banks, and then that's when they'll feud. They'll they'll feud, or at least start the feud.
I think Asuka might end up winning. Might
Bayley
end up beating Sasha.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so we both agree.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see. Apollo Crews versus MVP, singles title for the United States Championship. Like we were saying, this match should have happened on this night. They shouldn't have given us this match on Raw recently. Oh yeah, and plus Bobby Lashley and Shelton Benjamin are banned from ringside.
Yeah.
And still gonna win. I'm rooting for MVP, but I think Apollo Crews is still gonna win.
Yeah, I'm going Apollo Crews to win as well.
Yeah. It would be, to me, it would be more interesting to see MVP win it, but storyline-wise, you know, they want to build up Apollo Crews, you know, as a, you know, a star. So, I don't see, because basically MVP used to be the one, Drew McIntyre, Apollo Crews, all his matches are basically one-sided.
Yeah.
He always loses. Hello, looks like we're back on the air. Sorry about the technical difficulty, folks. Somehow, for some reason, we got cut off. But we're back on the air. I'm trying to remember what we were talking about. Yeah, SummerSlam. Let's see. Yeah, up next. Yeah, this is the final match, now that I think about it. Drew McIntyre, the WWE Champion. I forgot about Braun Strowman and The Fiend. But yeah, I'll get to that afterwards. Drew McIntyre, he defends the WWE Championship versus Randy Orton. And basically, I think Orton's going to win. I think Drew McIntyre's reign is going to end.
Wow, I think the opposite. I think McIntyre is going to retain the title and show why he deserves to hold the title until WrestleMania, at least.
I could see that happen either way, but yeah, I think Orton is the bigger threat that he has for his title. So I could definitely see Orton winning it. Show how ruthless he is, but yeah, I definitely it would make more sense to have Drew McIntyre, you know, lose the title to, you know, somebody, you know, like at WrestleMania, preferably a new star, like, I don't know, or someone who hasn't won the title yet.
Yeah.
Like Lashley or somebody like that, but I don't see that. I don't see that happening yet. So, I guess the last match would be Braun Strowman, the Universal Champion, versus The Fiend Bray Wyatt. And this is a false count anywhere match for the WWE Universal Championship. I can't see both titles changing hands on the same night like this. But I definitely think Bray Wyatt's going to win the title.
Yeah, I think that's going to happen for sure. I see Bray Wyatt winning the title.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why I'm kind of wavering on my Orton pick, but I think WWE is still going to do it with Orton. But Orton's one, the Orton McIntyre match, I'm 50-50 on that one. But I think they're going to make Orton win that one. Bray Wyatt versus Fiend, yeah, I think Fiend is definitely going to win this one. And then on NXT, shifting gears to NXT, they had their 30th takeover, and they had a surprise in this pay-per-view. I'll get to that very soon. Breezango, they defeat Oney Larkin and Danny Burch in the Legado de la Fantasma. And as a result, Fandango is the number one contender for the NXT Tag Team Championships. I think Imperium still has it. And then Finn Balor defeated Timothy Thatcher.
That was a good match. I like that match.
Yeah, they're both, you know, like brawlers and hard-hitting dudes. So, you know, no doubt that that'd be a classic. And Finn Balor, he lost the Velveteen Dream on Wednesday night NXT. As a result, Velveteen Dream, Johnny Gargano, Cameron Grimes, Bronson Reed, and Damian Priest all fought in the ladder match for the vacant NXT North American Championship. And Damian Priest came out the victor and won his first title with NXT as the North American champion.
Congrats.
So congratulations to him. Adam Cole, he got his revenge against Pac McAfee in a singles match. McAfee for weeks was talking smack about him. Adam Cole, first when he was doing an interview with Adam Cole on his radio show, and then afterwards he came on NXT and sucker kicked him while he was distracted. And that basically started a feud with him and Adam Cole, which culminated at the pay-per-view event tonight. And as expected, Adam Cole got the victory. For the women's NXT Women's Championship, Io Shirai defeated Kai and Raquel Gonzalez on NXT Surprise People by rejoining Dakota Kai as her hinge woman, which I saw that coming for a mile away, because they split those two up, and there was no explanation. I thought the big reveal that, you know, Raquel Gonzalez was still with Dakota Kai would have been revealed tonight, but they revealed it on Wednesday night. And basically, Dakota Kai and Raquel Gonzalez, they have like a Shawn Michaels Diesel dynamic with each other. Yeah, it was a good match, and Io Shirai came out with a victory. So Dakota Kai's chance of being women's champion went away in smokes. And this one was a surprising one. I mean, I kind of saw this match going either way. Karrion Kross, you know, with Scarlett, he defeats Keith Lee. And I'm not surprised that Karrion Kross defeat Keith Lee. I'm just surprised that they took the title off Keith Lee so quickly. I thought this Karrion Kross feud was a little bit rushed. This one should have been Survivor Series. Because Keith Lee just won the NXT Championship a few months ago against Adam Cole. Or maybe even a month ago. I kind of lost track. And then he vacates because he unified the titles, and he vacated the NXT North American Championship, which he's held for like hundreds of days, maybe even 300 days. I can't even remember. And of course, Damian Priest was, you know, won the title, you know, because it got vacated. But yeah, Karrion Kross, man. I knew once they faced each other eventually, that Karrion Kross would have took the title, you know, beat him for the title. But I just felt Keith Lee should have won this match, and then the next time they faced each other, Karrion Kross would have defeated him. But what's your thoughts?
It was a very good match, I'll say that. Yeah, I thought Keith Lee should have had a longer title reign.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a chance he'll probably regain it back.
Well, yeah.
Here in the next few months,
right.
But I mean, it was a well wrestled match between both men, and I think Karrion Kross is gonna be a good champion. You know?
Yeah, definitely.
But Keith Lee should have had a longer title reign. I agree with you on that.
Absolutely. No doubt about that. AEW, they the Gante and Ivelisse, they won the women's tournament. They defeated the Nightmare Sisters, which Allie would basically turn on Brandi Rhodes after the end of the Brody Lee Cody Rhodes match, where basically Cody Rhodes, not only did he lose the TNT championship, he got demolished by Brody Lee. And
he got
Chris Tucker would have definitely said that to him, you know. He got debolled, man.
Mm-hmm.
Zeus came out of retirement. That's what it looked like. Like he got beat up badly. Like I knew Cody Rhodes was gonna lose to Brody Lee, but darn, I thought it would have been more of a contest. Like it would have been a back and forth. And I mean, Cody Rhodes, he's been a great inaugural TNT champion, but yeah, he got really decimated. Like, I mean, I guess you could say it's great storytelling, because for the past couple of weeks, maybe the past two or three weeks, he's been taking his opponents a little, not taking them seriously. And then he gets a little motivated after he gets his butt kicked a little bit, and then he crawls his way back and win the match. But yeah, but this match, he really got his butt kicked. And then, as a result, his coach, Arn Anderson, got his butt kicked after, you know, Brody Lee won the title and, you know, his Dark Order faction attacked not only Arn Anderson, but, you know, even his wife, when Allie betrayed her tag team partner and joined the Dark Order. So, yeah, that's going to be interesting what they're going to do, you know, what they're going to... You know, now that Brody Lee is the TNT champion, are they still going to have the weekly invitational matches like Cody instituted? I mean, that'll be interesting to see. And it looks like Jericho and Orange Cassidy are going to have their third match, their rubber match, in a Mimosa match. I forgot what it's called. Mimosa.
Yeah, that was a funny,
Mimosa
title
match. Yeah, Mimosa something match.
Mimosa Mayhem match.
Yeah, that's it.
So what are you gonna do? I mean, T-shirt with mimosas? I mean,
basically, they'll win by pinfall, submission, or by dumping your opponent in a pool of mimosa, orange mimosa. I wonder how the match is gonna end. I mean, come on. If it doesn't end with someone getting dumped into mimosa, I mean, like, what's the point?
Yeah. Well, you gotta give it up. It is a creative match.
Yeah.
Mimosa.
What else? I'm trying. What else happened in AEW? I'm drawing a blank. I know John Moxley cut a promo. Ricky Starks pretended to be Darby Allin, and him and Brian Cage basically jumped him. you know, because they're part of Taz's faction.
Mm.
Yeah, I think that's about it. I could think off the top of my head.
Yeah.
Oh
yeah, MJF responded to John Moxley also.
Yeah,
you said that already.
What happened?
MJF responded to John Moxley.
Oh, I missed that part.
Yeah.
He also
cut a promo.
I know he's been cutting promos like he's a presidential candidate.
Yep. And he found a lawyer. He's found a lawyer to represent him, I think.
Mm.
I haven't been following TNA, so when I watched it today, I was not TNA, AEW, I said.
Mm-hmm.
So I was kind of like out of the loop on what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd say it was a very well, it was an entertaining show to watch today.
Yeah, it was. It was a good day for wrestling today.
Yeah.
I'd say. And hopefully Mets can get healthy and start playing games, you know.
Yeah, not infect other baseball players.
For real. Yeah, I guess I covered everything I need to cover. Oh yeah. What did you think of the Thunderdome?
What happened again? I know Ziggler, was it Ziggler who fought, I think, in one of the matches? Yeah, I think Ziggler fought in one of the matches, right?
No, you're thinking of Raw Underground.
Oh yeah, right.
No, I'm talking about now they have the SmackDown. They revealed Thunderdome. It's going to be at the Amway Center where the Magic play.
Oh.
And it's going to the pay-per-view event's going to be at the at the Thunder. They're calling it the Thunderdome, just like the third and final Mad Max movie with Mel Gibson.
Oh, okay. I think it's a unique idea. Need to see how, you know. Well, I like the virtual fans. I like that idea.
It was a good idea.
I want to see what, you know, more of it, just like the Royal Underground, and see how they have this planned out. I mean, it looks like it's going to be kind of like the NBA bubble, almost.
Mm-hmm.
You have the virtual fans.
Yeah, so they're going to be there.
You know, yeah. But so far, so good.
Yeah, it's a good, innovative idea.
Yeah.
It's
kind of like how pre-COVID-19.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got the fans, you got the pyrotechnics, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of having the wrestlers in the background cheering for other wrestlers.
Right.
Well, yeah, so far so good. We'll see how it turns out as they have more of these going forward.
Yeah, any last thing you'd like to say before we head out?
Enjoy SummerSlam, and we'll see you guys next week.
All right, you're
on Blog Talk Radio.
You're the man. Check out the next episode next week of we'll review SummerSlam, Thunderdome. We'll see what happens. Check out this episode next week. Check out the YouTube channel Sports and Religion TV, and we'll see you next week. Same bat channel, same bat time, and that will be next Saturday at 10. I mean Saturday at 11. I guess you could come at 10 if you want and wait an hour, but the show is going to be Saturday at 11. So he's Macaulay Matthew. I'm William Ramo, and I'll see you guys next time. Peace.